Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Awesome. Well, good morning, and again, welcome. We are excited. We're going to give a couple updates of some things happening at Life Change before we jump into the message. So if you're new to Life Change, just want to let you know we are in the middle of a two-year generosity initiative, which we've entitled Go Time. So I want to just give some updates on where we are in this and some cool things that are happening. And so what's crazy is that we are in month 17 of this generosity initiative, and it feels like we just started this like yesterday. The time is going by fast, right? And so I want to give you just some updates from the first 16 months. And if you remember, our first goal, the primary goal of this initiative is that we have 100% engagement. All right, we want everyone to play a part. We want everyone to jump in and take a step of faith as we move into this. And then our secondary goal was a financial goal of $1.2 million. And so I want to let you know, after 16 months, right now what we have received is $1,825. Come on. Yeah. That's amazing. So if you put this in perspective, so the monthly goal to reach $1.2 million over the 24-month time frame, that's going to be $50,000 coming in each month. So if you look at it right now, after 16 months, we are $825 ahead. Come on. Let's go. And again, the primary goal is that we're all involved. But here's what's happening. Because of your generosity, because people are taking this step of faith, we've seen some amazing things happen since this has started. And what's crazy about this, and I don't know if this is recommended like by pastor books at all, right? We didn't know what we were doing when we started this. Just throw that out there completely. We knew that God was calling us to do something, but we didn't have answers yet. We just knew that we were supposed to take a step of faith. And so when I say we didn't have answers, we didn't know if we're going to be moving buildings. We didn't know if we're going to be building onto this. We didn't know if something else was even in the works, if we're going to rent a place. We didn't know anything, but we knew that God said, hey, take a step of faith. No clue why $1.2 million. It was just the number that was in there. So let's say, hey, this is what strive for this. Like, it was a crazy step of faith, but God's done some amazing things. And here's what he did call us to. He called us to continue to be the church. He called us to continue to go back to our core values of who we are at Life Change, to love people to a growing relationship, and to connect, grow, give, and replicate. And so since we started this, we've been able to do these things. Again, if you look at this as a one fund, and this one fund funnels into these four different areas of connect, grow, give, and replicate. So I just want to share some things of how we've been able to connect since we started this. Have we been able to be the church since we started Go Time? And so we track different things. So I want us to say this. Since we started Go Time, we've been seeing record attendance, right? And just to put this in perspective, on Easter, we did four services in here. We had 575 people walk through these doors, right? Like, you look around like, this room is not that big. You're right, right? We're like the little church that could. And this is what we are, and it's amazing. And so because of that, obviously some skewed numbers, but for the month of April, we had 412 people. That's what we averaged each week. All right, amazing stuff. God's doing some incredible things. Even more exciting than that is that since we started Go Time, we've seen 110 people make a decision for Jesus. Come on. Yeah. And we've seen numerous baptisms. In fact, we've had a baptism every single month so far this year. I'll say we'll open it up again at any time if anybody wants to get baptized. Like, we're going to do it. We're going to celebrate again. Baptism is a public display of the inward commitment, and it's time to celebrate that you made a commitment to follow Jesus. And that's amazing, and we've seen this, right? We've seen this. We've seen our serve teams grow. We've seen our leadership team grow. We've seen our life groups grow. We just got some numbers right now from life groups. We have 100 different people involved in a life group, right? That's amazing. God's doing incredible things. And we used our Discover classes as kind of our first, like, try to figure out who we are, Life Change, our next steps class. We went from doing that quarterly to monthly now, and people are going through it each time. Right? It's amazing. We've been able to be the church. We've been able to fulfill what God's called us, to connect with him and to connect with others. And what's cool, too, is that we've been able to grow as well. Again, as we started, this was a whole leap of faith. We didn't know where we're going, but because we're in the middle of this, we've been able to take a step and say yes to certain things. If you remember, back in May, we ended up purchasing 4 acres right behind this lot, and we were able to purchase that with cash. So amazing stuff. And we think in our minds, we're like, okay, cool, God's, you're going to lead us to build on that property. But then there was 2.9 acres that opened up as well that took this property all the way to State Route 13. So we have some frontage on Mount Vernon Road. And in that 2.9 acres, there's a 22,800 square foot warehouse as well. And we were able to purchase it, not with cash, but with a significant down payment to secure our loan. And right now, we're currently in the phase of planning this renovation. Right? And so it's amazing, right? And so I've got some incredible news for you today that I want to show you. And so we're just going to walk over the buildings ready. No, I'm just joking. not even close. And I will tell you, as your pastor, I'm learning patience is a weak point for me. It's confession time, right? Like, I'm ready to roll, but the building process is way slower than I would like. But it is amazing, and there's some incredible things happening, and we've actually secured a floor plan and have some designs ready. And so those are getting ready. We're getting ready to finalize our construction documents, which we'll turn in for permitting here soon. But I want to just show you some cool things of what this building is going to look like. So let's dream together, and let's check out this video.
Unimaginably filled with light, I wouldn't trade this moment for all the rest of time. Like the moon and stars can't hold the sun away forever, your sunrise cuts a burst into my light. Never will I meet a friend like you. Never will I cease to follow you, oh lover of my soul. Oh lover of my soul. Go down without a sound, come up again. Clean the mess and all that's left is my best friend. Plug my nose, the river flows, the angels sing a song. They all rejoice with one sweet voice again. And never will I meet a friend like you. Never will I cease to follow you. The time has come to glorify. From this moment on, I will never deny you. You glorify, I will glorify. Cause I know the blood that covers me saves my soul. The blood that covers me. Isn't it so crazy? You amaze me. I am broken. I am open only to be near you, even though I fear you. Everything you told me, even when you hold me, isn't it so crazy? You amaze me. I am broken. I am open only to be near you, even though I fear you. Everything you told me.
Come on. Yeah. Yeah. How cool is that? Hey, it's going to be amazing. We're excited for that. It's fun to reveal that to you. And so just so you know, that's phase one. And so I said, well, there's 22,800 square feet. What's crazy is we were talking about building, and even to build it, something along those lines, that was easily like $10 million, which I'm a cheapskate. So I said, no, right? But we're able to do some incredible things. And so the phase one, we will be renovating 12,800 square feet in that. And so you'll see that this will be the first phase, and it will get us to where we have, in the sanctuary, we'll have 338 seats. And to kind of put that in perspective here, you're looking at when we're packed out in this room, there's 165 chairs, and that's where you're like, Corbin, I think you're breaking code. You're right. And so for that, that's when that happens. And so that puts that in perspective of where we can go. And then if you look at it too, it looks, there was 5 different classrooms, including the nursery in that. So that actually gains us 1 more classroom for kids and in phase 1. And so it would be about, you can fit about 80 children, 80 kids' life into that as well. And so if you look at it, that's pretty much where we are on a typical Sunday, right in that realm of 3 to 3:30 adults, anywhere from 60 to 75 to 80 kids. And so it sets us up perfectly, but you're like, yeah, but I think it's too small. You're right. We will go into 2 services again, so some of you guys are like, sweet, options, right? So we'll be jumping into that when we get into that and more details to come, but that's just kind of to show you the perspective of what that is. And that's all phase 1. And then we'll go to phase 2, which if you look at it, you saw, hey, the kids' rooms are a little tight. We'll actually grow out of kids' space first, but there's still a whole 10,000 square foot building that could become an incredible kids' wing that we'll do from there as well. So we're excited about that. And again, this is because of your generosity. This is because you said yes, even though I came up here just saying this is where we're going. I didn't know the direction, but now there's some direction to it as well. And it's because of your generosity. Because of your generosity, we're able and moving towards this growth factor of this Go Time initiative. And I will say this, from day 1 at Life Change, we've always given, right? We started 10 years ago, and really even before day 1, we had it in there that we're going to give 10%, and really 10 to 13% of everything that comes in goes out to different ministries, to different missionaries, and to church planting organizations. And when we jumped in this, we said it's no different. We've got to continue to do so. So we've been able to give over $2,500 away each month to missionaries, ministries, and we've been able to do the same thing for church planting as well. Right? And so it's just incredible to see what God is doing. We've been able to continue to give, and we've been able to continue to even replicate. What was crazy, when we launched as a church, we wanted to launch another church. Right? That was one of the dreams. That was one of the goals. And when we said, we're going into Go Time, we're going to do it, we didn't know how that looked. In fact, we didn't know it was going to happen, but we're actually launching our very first church as well this fall in September with Vibrant Life Church. And so we've been able to set them up in an incredible way. We've been able to help them financially. We've been able to help them do their Easter egg hunt. If you were a part of that, you saw it was just amazing to see all the people on their grounds to get them ready so that they can reach their community as well. So we are doing some amazing things. It's because of you. It's because of your generosity. And it's because of this Go Time. And again, if you look at Go Time, our first goal and our primary goal is 100% engagement. And if you're thinking like, man, I came late. Well, guess what? We still have 7 months, and you can play a part. So we have 7 months, and the secondary goal is that we need to raise $400,000 in that next 7 months. And if you want to play a part, we would love for you to jump in. You will see that there's Go Time commitment cards in the seat back in front of you. You can turn those in the offering basket at the end of service today. And again, if you're a part of it, let's finish strong, right? Let's keep going. Let's keep going, and let's finish strong, right? Let's do our part to love more people to Life Change and declare it's Go Time. Right? Exciting stuff. Right? That's amazing things. Let's pray. Let's just pray a prayer of thanksgiving, and let's pray for this next phase of this as well. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you right now. God, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you that you pushed us to take a step of faith and that you are faithful in that moment. God, we thank you for what you've done. God, just in 16 months, God, it's incredible to see the things that you're opening up, the doors that you're opening up, God, and I pray that we continue to walk in faith and trust you fully. God, I pray that you help us in this next phase, God, as we go through the construction phase, God, as we raise the remaining funds of this, God, I pray that you'll be there every step of the way. And more importantly, God, I pray that lives are changed. I pray that people get to know you, that they experience your love, they experience that the freedom that comes from the power of your son, Jesus Christ, that you gave for each and every one of us to die on a cross and be risen again. God, help us to share that good news and the gospel with everyone we come across, and that we can expand heaven. We love you, and we thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. How many of you guys ready to jump into the message today? Yeah. I like when you're fired up. So we're jumping in and we're going back into a series that we've entitled Like Jesus. A series that we've been talking about through the next several weeks of where we're looking at characteristics. We're looking at attributes of who Jesus is. And again, this is what church is all about. This is what Christianity is all about. It's to be like Jesus. That's why we're called followers of him. We're following who he is. We're following the things that he did, and we're going to apply them to our lives. And so today I want to jump in, and I want to talk about how we can love like Jesus. Everybody say, love like Jesus. That sounds really good, doesn't it? Right? It sounds good. That's something we all kind of strive for. In fact, if you've been around Life Change, you know that that's our goal. We want to love people to life change. We want to love people to a growing relationship with Jesus. And we see that Jesus modeled this. But how many of you know that love sometimes can be a little hard? Right? Love sometimes takes a little bit from us. It takes some effort. Right? It takes some action. Right? It goes this really more than just words. Right? Love takes something from us. And sometimes, if you look at it, there's a point where we no longer go past that. Right? I heard this story about a guy who was sick, and he went to the doctor. I'm talking like he was real sick. Like, he thought he was going to die. He felt real bad, had all these issues going on. He goes to the doctor. The doctor looks at him, refers him to a specialist. He goes to the specialist. They do all these tests on him. They're like, man, it's pretty bad. Right? It's pretty bad. We're going to have to, why don't we call in your wife? We're going to talk to her first. So the wife goes in. Doctor says, yeah, your husband, he's pretty sick. You're going to have to take care of him, right? For the next 2 weeks. Like, you're going to have to cook his food. You're going to have to wash his clothes. You're going to have to do laundry. You're going to have to clean the house. Like, if he needs the TV turned on, you're going to have to turn the TV on. You're going to have to adjust the volume for him. You're going to have to bring soup for him at the right temperature, just at the right time. If he's cold, bring him a blanket. If he's hot, bring him a cold towel. You're going to have to do all these things because he's pretty serious. He has what's known as the man flu, right? And he could die in these 2 weeks. So she goes back, tells her husband, and her husband's like, what'd doctor say? Wife goes and tells her husband, you got 2 weeks to live, right? Okay, all that is made up, except for the man flu and how serious the man flu really is. But if you think about it, there comes the point where sometimes where we go through, and we refer back to the Meatloaf song where we would do anything for love, but we just won't do that. Right? There's some times where there's a limit to our love. Right? We put just to an extension of it. But I want us to understand, when it comes to Jesus, there's no limit to his love. Right? In fact, here's what I want us to understand. I want us to understand that Jesus' love is irrational. Right? It's irrational to us, to humankind, to mankind. It makes no sense. There's no limit and there's no line to his love. And when it comes to Jesus, there's no I won't do that. His love goes beyond all that. In fact, it doesn't make sense to us because there's really no logic to it. Right? It goes beyond reason, and his love is ridiculous, and it's ridiculously amazing. It's irrational. If you look at Jesus, he irrationally gave to others. He irrationally served others because of his love. And we see an incredible example of this where Jesus actually washed his disciples' feet in John chapter 13 that we're going to spend some time looking at today. So if you have your Bibles, you can go there with me. Again, if you don't have a Bible, great way to download is the YouVersion Bible app. There's reading plans, but read your Bible every single day, and this is a great way to do it as well. But if you look at this passage in John chapter 13, this is really taking place during Jesus' last week of life. This is leading up to really his most irrational act of dying on a cross. And if you look at this last week of his life, it was a pretty crazy week. And if you dig into it, Monday, Jesus kind of goes in and he clears the temple, right? He flipped tables. He yells at him. He says, you're not going to turn my house into a place of profit. It's going to be used as a place of worship. And then Tuesday, that continued on, and he had this massive fight with these religious leaders. And then if you look at Wednesday, kind of laid low. And then Thursday is where we're picking up here today, where he's spending time and he shows this amazing act of love to his disciples. And again, this is the day before Jesus actually died. So think about all these emotions that Jesus is going through, and this is what's happening during this. So John chapter 13, verse 1, it reads this. It says, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Right, just remember that part. He loved them to the end. Verse 2 goes on and says, then the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So here's Jesus, and again, he's facing death right in the eye. He knows his time is coming. And he knows that he's about to give everything, including his life. And he gathers his friends and gets them in the secret place. You think he'd be here, he's going to give them this speech, like this final speech, this ending speech to tell them all this. But what he does, he prepares this meal where they're sharing this Passover meal together. And then he explains the body and he explains the blood, right? The bread and the wine. He has this heartfelt moment, which we now as communion. He's doing this all knowing that he's about to die. And he's doing this all knowing that there's one that's going to betray him sitting them right there. He knows the very next day he's going to be betrayed, he's going to be beaten, he's going to be tortured, he's going to die on a cross. And he looks around, he looks at his closest friends, and what's he see? He sees, even in the midst of everything he's going through, he sees that they're in a place of need as well. He still sees that they're dealing with some stuff, right? Because at that table, they're actually arguing who's the greatest among them. So he sees them, he says, "Ooh, you know what? They're still dirty. They still have some issues. They're still dealing with pride." And he looks at him, he sees these proud hearts, and he sees these dirty feet. And what's he do? He loves them. He serves them, and he washes their feet. Check this out, verse 4. It goes on and says, "So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him." Here's Jesus. He's getting ready to go die on a cross. He's all these emotions, and he sits at the table, and he sees that these people still have issues as well. And he puts everything aside, and he serves them. He stops to wash their feet. He puts on the clothes of a servant, kneels down, and serves them. He loves them. Listen, this is crazy. Right? This makes no sense. Listen, if I'm Jesus, and I've been hanging out with these disciples for 3 years, and I'm about to go die on a cross, and I see that they're still arguing about who's the greatest, I don't know if I would have washed their feet. I probably would have ripped into them, like, "You idiots, come on. Like, I've been doing this for 3 years. Like, are you just wasting my time?" Like, that's where I would have been. That's the logical thing to do. But here's Jesus, and he bends down, washes their feet, and serves them. Completely irrational. I mean, just to be clear, like, Jesus washing his disciples' feet was not a normal thing. Teachers and rabbis, they did not do this. Leaders did not do this. This was something that was set for a servant to do. In fact, this was actually considered a humiliating task. I mean, think about it. Who wants to touch someone else's feet? I mean, some of you right now, you're at the Meatloaf song, like, "I'll do anything for love, but I'm not doing that. If we're having a foot washing service, Corbin, I am out of here right now." Right? Some of you got nervous and you're looking around. Are there basins? What's going to happen? Right? We're not washing others' feet today, but if you've been to one, you know that that's a very humbling service. Right? God does some amazing things in there, but we're not going to do it on a Sunday morning, so relax. But think about it. Here's Jesus, and he washes their feet. I don't care what time period in the world we are. Feet are gross, right? I mean, you got summer toes, some are here, some are there. You got finger toes, you got long toes, short toes, you got moles, you got calluses, you got warts, you got all sorts of bunions, all sorts of the weird grossness of feet. And I'm only guessing that it was probably even a little bit more heightened back in that period. And here's Jesus, and he bends down and he touches their feet. He washes their feet. He puts the clothes on of a servant, like a servant. And he humbles himself to love them. This is some irrational stuff for a teacher, some irrational stuff for a leader, but this is who he is. This is what he does. He sees their proud heart. He sees their dirty feet, and he says, there's a place where I'm going to love you. This is a place where I'm going to serve you. And here's Jesus, the Son of God. He's the light of the world. He's the King of kings. Right? He's the Prince of Peace, the chosen one, and he kneels down and washes their feet, showing he didn't come to be served, but he came to serve. To show us how much he truly loved us, and he loves them. Right? This is irrational. Right? It makes no sense, but it's who Jesus is, and it's what he does. Right? Jesus' love is irrational. If you look at it, like, it doesn't make sense to us, but it also didn't make sense to some of the disciples at that time. Right? They were kind of baffled by this as well, specifically Simon Peter. You keep going to verse 6, it says this. It says, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Here's Peter, and he recognizes just how out of place this is. He sees how crazy Jesus is being. It's like, man, this doesn't make sense. I love Peter. Peter's kind of crazy himself. He always likes to take, he's the one that always say, you know, I'm gonna correct Jesus in this. Right, how'd that go for you, Peter? Right. But he stood up and he said, you know what? I don't get it. And Jesus looks at him and says, yeah, my love goes beyond anything that you can actually imagine. My love isn't a human love, it's a godly love. And it goes beyond anything that we could ever truly understand. It's unconditional and it's irrational in the human mindset. Jesus is telling this, but Peter's still like, yeah, I don't get it. And listen, I think with our honest ourselves, sometimes we're like Peter. And we don't get it. And the love of God, it's baffling sometimes. And because we don't understand it, sometimes our own love is limited. Because we try to put logic to it, sometimes we have a line that we just won't cross. We get to the point where we're like, oh, somebody else should do that. Oh, that's reserved for somebody lower. I've already done my time. I'm not going to do that. No. What God's saying is like, no, you've done your time. No, love goes beyond your time. Love goes beyond anything that you can think through. And too many times, though, I think we set a limit to our love. And it puts wedges in our relationships and puts wedges sometimes in our spiritual growth as well. It keeps us truly from loving like Jesus. Here's Jesus, though, and he shows us this irrational love. And Jesus' love is irrational. It's so over the top. In fact, that's the gospel. That's the good news, is the fact that his love is over the top. It didn't make sense that he lived a perfect life. It didn't make sense that he died on a cross to pay a penalty that he didn't deserve. That doesn't make sense. Why would you go do that? Why would anybody do that? But Jesus did it. He died on the cross for our sins, not his, ours, and then he was risen again. Why? Because his love is irrational. Why? Because he loves us so much that he wants us to be connected back to our Heavenly Father, connected back to our Creator, connected back to our purpose of what we're actually truly made for. His love is irrational, and he wants us to love like him. Check out verse 8, continues on, it says this. It says, Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. And Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. And when Jesus had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Here's Jesus, and he has to love this way because it's who he is. And this is what he's explaining to Peter. He's explaining to Peter saying, even in the midst of everything that's going on, this is who I am. I'm going to love you, even though there's someone that's going to betray me. Even though there's some people here that are going to deny me, I'm going to love you. Again, this goes back to the verse saying, having loved his own who are in the world, he loved them to the end. This is what loving to the end looks like. It's this irrational act of love and serving them like no one had ever seen before. It is above and beyond. And here's what's incredible. Jesus showed us this love, but he also called us to this love. He modeled this love, and he even instructed us to love this way as well. If you go on in verse 12, it continues, it says this. It says, do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. He says, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. And now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Here's Jesus, and he's saying, love like me. And to love like Jesus, we need to serve like Jesus. And we need to serve irrationally. We need to go over the top. We need to get crazy and serve others so that we can show them the love of Jesus. So that's my challenge for you today, is to love like Jesus by serving like him. And let me give you three areas in which you can serve like Jesus. Number one, serve your family. Right? Serve your family like Jesus. Love your family like Jesus, which means go over the top. Do things that don't always make sense. And erase the imaginary line when it comes to your family and get a little crazy. Right? Serve your family. If you're married, I want to challenge you, serve your spouse. Right? Even if they have man flu, serve their spouse, right? Go above and beyond. Here's what I know. I think sometimes we get to the point where marriage is just hanging on by a thread, and you get to the point where, like, I don't even know what to do. Listen, if you're there, here's what you should do. Serve them. Serve them like Jesus would. Go over the top. Right? Love them irrationally. Right? If your spouse, serve your spouse. Listen, if you're a parent, serve your kids. Right? Serve your family, serve your kids. Model what servanthood looks like, because guess what? They're watching and they're going to learn it from you. So serve them. Right? Go above and beyond. If you look at Jesus, his radical love was more than just words, it was actions. Right? So serve with actions. Right? Get a little crazy, go over the top and serve them. Like, serve your kids. Right? If you're a child, serve your parents. If you're a sibling, serve your sibling. Right? Love your family like Jesus by serving them. Go against the norm and serve them. All right, so number one, serve your family. Number two, serve the church. All right, we need to serve the church. Here's what I know. The church doesn't exist for us. We exist for the church. Right? When it comes to a church, it's not about finding a church to meet our needs. It's actually about being the church to meet the needs of others. And what that looks like, it looks like serving. It looks like what Jesus demonstrated to us. It looks like loving like him. Right, so serve the church. Right, don't just be a spiritual consumer, but actually be a spiritual contributor. Try to help. Right, do things. Go above and beyond. Right, push yourself. Get outside your comfort zone. Right, serve the church. Again, this is what Go Time's all about. Right, we're in this so that we can stretch ourselves so that others and more people can see and experience the love of Jesus. Right, I challenge you, if you're not a part of it, serve the church. Maybe Go Time's a way to jump in. Right, this is what our serve teams are about, to actually love others, because we're called to serve each other. I said over and over again, but we look the most like Jesus when we serve. So serve each other. And listen, every Sunday morning we huddle as a team. Like before the 8:30 service, the first serve team comes together. We pray 8 o'clock. And every Sunday morning we pray, God, use us to show the love of Jesus. And we do that by serving others. That's what I challenge you to do. Like, serve the church. Right? If you're not part of Go Time, make a commitment. Jump in, serve the church in that way. If you're not part of a serve team, jump in. Right, sign up. Right, start waving at people at the driveway. Start parking cars. Right, start smiling at people as they walk through the doors. Right, help people connect in the desk. Help set up food. Right, check people in for kids. Serving kids, teach kids. Help usher people to seats. Whatever it is, I challenge you to serve. And it may be outside of your comfort zone, or you may even think it's a small menial task. But here's what I know. Jesus probably thought washing people's feet was a small menial task, but it changed the world. It showed them that he truly loved them. We need to do that with others. Right? Let's show them that we truly love. Let's serve the church. And number three is serve the community. Right? Serve in your workplace. Serve in your neighborhoods. Serve with your friends. Right? Serve your community. Listen, if you want your community to change, if you look around and think, man, this place has gone downhill, guess what? It starts with you to fix it by serving in your community. If you want better friendships, start serving them. If you want a better work environment, serve in your workplace. Get a little crazy, go nuts, do some things that may not even make sense that will leave people baffled. And serve your community, that's what loving like Jesus is. Let's love like Jesus by serving like Jesus. And understand that serving is our actions, but it even goes beyond our actions and it goes into our attitude. I'm gonna challenge you to serve with the right attitude. Serving is always less about us and it's always more about others. Your gifts are not about you. Your gifts are not for you to come and just brag and say, man, look how amazing I am. Your gifts are to be used to show others the love of Jesus. That's, I think, the bands up front here all the time. They're an easy example, but their gifts aren't about them. Their gifts are to usher us into the presence of God. Right? And they do an incredible job. If you're just happy-go-lucky and you have a great smile, then use that as a gift to show others that people love them as they walk in the doors. Like, if your gift is teaching, use that in a way to help others. That's what I challenge you. Again, your gifts, they're not about you. Your talents aren't about you. Your serving is not even about you. It's about others. So we need to have the attitude that we don't need to recognize. We don't need to repay for this, right? This isn't that. It's going above. In fact, the truth is if we serve with the right attitude, we don't need to be seen. We actually need to see others. And if you look at Jesus, this is what he did. He saw his others. He saw the disciples. He saw they had proud hearts. He saw they had dirty feet. So what did he do? He bent down and he served them irrationally. He washed their feet. Jesus' love is irrational, and I want us to love like Jesus. I challenge us to love like Jesus. And here's what happens when we do. When we love like Jesus, God changes our lives. He changes the lives of others, and he changes our lives as well. So that's my challenge for you to do, is to serve like Jesus. Serve your family, serve the church, and serve the community. As the band comes up, maybe for you, maybe that's where you're at. Maybe for you, your first step is to experience the love of Jesus. Again, when we love like Jesus, we are changed because we experience who he is. And maybe you're here today, maybe you've never fully experienced the love of Jesus. It starts by making a commitment to him. It starts by accepting the fact that he lived a perfect life, died on a cross, and was risen again. If you're here today and you never made that decision, you never committed your life to him, I want to give you the opportunity. What you'll see is you can see on the connection card in the seat back in front of you that the first box says, I want to make a commitment to Jesus. If that's where you are right now, I want to challenge you to checkmark that box. Right? Checkmark that box. And know this, know that we're going to be praying for you. Knowing that if you want help on next steps, we're here to help you in that. And one of the next steps is baptism. Right? Maybe for you, maybe that's where you're at. You're saying, you know what, I made a decision, but I need to go public with that decision. And I want to get baptized. We'll set the baptism up next week. We'll make it happen. Right? If that's you, checkmark that box. There's also a place that says that God is asking me to. Maybe you need to serve your family in a different way. Maybe you need to be more like Jesus. Maybe you need to love them more like Jesus by serving them. And maybe it's the church. Maybe it's time to jump in and serve team. Maybe it's time to jump in and go time. Hey, maybe it's with your community. Whatever it is, write that down and then begin to live that out. Let me pray with you. Dear Holy Father, we thank you right now. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you've loved us so much, that you loved us irrationally by sending your son to die on a cross for us. And I pray for the one right now that maybe accepted you, that's committed to you. God, I pray that they will experience your love in an incredible way and they'll be able to give it out so others experience it. God, I pray that you help us to love like you by serving our family, by serving our church, by serving our community. And God, I pray because of it, we are forever changed and others are forever changed as well. God, we love you and we thank you. We give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you would take a moment to fill those connection cards out at this time. Again, this is your time to any tithes or offerings ready, any go time commitments, and you can drop all that in the offering basket in just a moment. But you would fill those out and then Seth will be up to explain the next steps.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you are listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. And let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.